Nice. Soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. Thank you for joining us whenever, wherever you are listening to the Soul on Ice podcast. You're now rocking with the best. My name is Kwame, and we always got to remind you to hit us up on all social media platforms, subscribe, rate, and review. And of course, Double Trouble is in the house to get busy, boys. Elijah Robbins, Akil Thomas, what's happening, partners?
You know, I've been on bed rest all week, so nothing.
Oh, yeah, really, that's right. He's still looking a little bit swollen.
Still a little bit swollen, but, you know, I
honestly felt fine after my surgery. A lot of people have, like, terrible experiences. And after day one, like, I was up walking around doing
Chipmunk. Chipmunk.
Akil,
definitely doing my wisdom teeth out. Even with my wisdom teeth out.
You still I will tell you, when I got my wisdom teeth taken out, obviously they're like, oh, so you have the ice for, you know, 6 or 7 days. The day after, I was playing shinny with you. So.
That's toughness right there. You guys ever skate on synthetic ice? Have you guys ever done that before?
Yeah. Like, all my buddies in Florida when I was younger kind of had them. They're pretty cool. I actually have some here. But I don't have anywhere to set it up, so yeah.
Well, I took Hendrix to the hockey shot office, and they had their little setup of the synthetic ice. It's the first time I've ever been on synthetic ice. It's actually pretty dope. Elijah, you ever been on synthetic ice?
I did like a skating thing one time just to like kind of test it out, and you know it's not the same as real ice, but it is a pretty good. Alternate, and you know, if you can afford it and get it and you know kind of set up a spot where you can use it, I think it's kind of worth it.
Would you guys say that it's good for parents for their kids? What would you say, Akil?
Yeah, if you have the space, it's awesome. You can shoot, you can skate on it. So anything you can kind of do at home that can relate your on-ice abilities, it's obviously a no-brainer to get if you have the space. But obviously if you don't have the space, there's no point in you know investing that, because it's kind of useless if you can only skate like 2 feet, you know, across the ice. But speaking of all that, like, Kwame, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good.
How you really doing? Like mentally?
I'm doing really good mentally. It's been a great week. NHL playoffs has been a storm. It's been great to watch. I'm doing good. Thank you so much for asking, though. I appreciate that.
Yeah, but like, you know, after everything that happened, I just want to make sure everything's okay. And
everything,
you know,
that happened with.
Just tell the people. Tell them, you know.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm just.
The NHL game. You were playing VLE.
Oh, yeah. So, Elijah, me and Akil were playing, back to our series. And he started out really good, man. Like, I was beating him, like, what was it, 5-2?
It was 5-2, yeah.
And then third period, he came back and beat me. But see, the problem with playing Akil is, like, he has a little cheerleader that sits beside him, and it's very distracting. So you kind of just be like, okay, I just got to get out of this, man. This is crazy.
That just sounds like another excuse.
It is. It definitely is. It's definitely another excuse.
But you say the exact same thing about me eating chips in the mic.
Yeah.
And it threw you off your game.
It is.
Elijah.
Guess what? Real players.
You ask me a question. Can you ask me what the – can you – actually, Elijah, can you ask Kwame what the final score was? Just ask him.
Which one? Which game?
He was up 5-2. What was the final score of that
game? What was the final score? And then when I hear this score, if it's that bad, I may just have to take a break, and we might just have to get right to our guest if the score is that bad.
10-5.
Was it, though? Was it really?
10-5. I promise you it was. 10-5.
Oh, my God. You see, he's so excited about that, he had to put his mouth right up on the mic.
Call me. Just I don't want to hear any more from you. I don't want to hear any more from Akil. I think we need a little break, and I think we got to get right to our guest after that.
Okay, let's get to our guest. Can you tell everybody who we got on the show today?
Yeah, we got some of my close friends from when I played in junior hockey in Kitchener. We got one of the hardest shots on the planet,
You know, he's definitely up there with the Stamkos and can't even think who else has a hard shot.
But, you
know, he's got one of the hardest shots we've ever seen, and you know, one of the most effective defensive forwards, and you know, he also puts up points as we saw this year. Riley Damiani, you know, joining the boys next.
All right. Okay. So listen, don't go anywhere. Big shout out to Hockey Shot. Thank you for having us at your shop today. For all the parents out there, if they're looking for synthetic ice, hockeyshot.com is the spot. And yeah, we'll be right back. Our next two guests are former teammates of Elijah Roberts when they played for the Kitchener Rangers and have both been drafted to the Dallas Stars. Legend has it that one of them has a slap shot so hard that his brother and his friends refused to be in the net with him as he practiced, and the other just was awarded the AHL Rookie of the Year. So, brothers and soul sisters, let me introduce to you from the Dallas Stars, their prospects playing for the Texas Stars AHL team. Adam, I'm going to mash up your last name. Mash, how do we say it?
Mascarin.
Mascarin.
There we go.
and Riley Damiani.
Damiani.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm 0-2 with the last names, but welcome to the show, boys. How you doing?
Good. Everything's been good. Thanks for having me.
Solid. Fired up to talk to the boys again.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Adam, first off, is it true that story about your brothers and your friend and their friends never wanting to go in the net while you were shooting those slap shots?
Yeah, just ask Elijah on the penalty kill in practice against me back in Kitchener days, and he can answer that one for you. But, no, yeah, I used to shoot a lot of pucks growing up, and eventually the neighborhood kids stopped wanting to play with me because I'd be hitting them in the feet and the ankles and in the shins, and then I was playing by myself pretty quick.
Well, I mean, I remember being like 14 and like, or even 12, like just knowing of like Adam Mascarin because of like how hard a shot was. And like, I had no idea who he was or whatever, but growing up, like I just knew like he had a bomb. Like it was just weird.
So what are we saying? What's your shot clocked at right now? What do you think?
I got no clue, but I used to just be able to come over the blue line, like back in minor hockey and stuff, and I'd just shoot it, and they would just go in. Like it was like a free goal. And then when I got to juniors, it slowly started getting harder and harder, you know, as you get older. But yeah, back then it used to be fun. I used to just shoot from everywhere. It would just go crazy.
When I got called up, Mash would, like, he didn't tell me this till after, but, you know, I tried to, like, play pretty good defense on him. And he would just shoot it at my foot so I'd get out of the way. Jesus. And then he kind of kept doing the same thing in practice for 2 years after that. So, you
hey,
know.
Didn't he knock your tooth out too?
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that. But
oh, my God. Okay. This is going to be fun. But
he is the reason why all my friends make fun of me every day for
nice. Nice. Okay. But first, Riley, congratulations, man. Rookie of the Year, AHL. How has that been for you? And, you know, what does that say about your work ethic? Because I know being Rookie of the Year is something Akil wanted for the AHL. He's very sad that he didn't get it. He actually complains about it all the time. Thinks that he should have got it. But, you know, so it goes sometimes, man. But, you know, congratulations. How's that been for you?
Thank you. It's been good. I was waiting the announcement for a while. I had a feeling I'd be in the running. So
Akil did good. Too.
Things, what's that?
Akil did too. He thought,
don't listen to this guy. Don't listen to him.
No, things just went well. I got a lot of opportunity this year. We were a younger group, and then I played with Mash all year, and you saw his totals and the way he played this year. So, I think we kind of just fed off each other and just did what we had to do. And when we were putting opportunities to score, that was kind of our job all year. So thought we kind of did it, and I thought we both had great years.
Mash, you have a pretty interesting draft story. You know, you were drafted twice. I don't really know anybody else who has had that. What were both experiences like and the differences in between them?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. First draft, I was drafted by Florida, and I was at the draft and I just heard from the Kitchener Rangers, and then I kind of blacked out. And when I saw my parents stand up, I figured it was me, but we had a couple guys like Buns and Halsey that were at the draft that also were going in and around that spot too. So I didn't know it was me until I saw my parents stand up, and I kind of blacked out, and I didn't even know what team picked me until I walked down the stage and saw them give me the jersey. And I was like, oh, the Panthers. And I was pretty fired up. And I got injured and some stuff happened. And then I ended up going back in the draft and getting drafted again by Dallas. So yeah, I've been drafted twice. And then the second time, it cut to TV commercial and I was home. So I had no clue. And then my agent called me and he was like, hey, congratulations. And I was like, for what? Like, I'm sitting on my couch, like sweating, like waiting to see like if I get picked again. And I got picked in a commercial break. So it was kind of crazy.
Well, now you got to go like win like Rocket Richard or something, you know, just to kind of the same thing happened with Jokic when he won, just got MVP. He was picked during commercial. It's kind of funny, but Dammer, like I was with Mash during his draft year. And like, you know, that entire year I saw like he was pretty stressed out, putting a lot of pressure on himself, game in and game out. How did he kind of like help you with that? And what was your like whole draft experience like?
Well, yeah, we had an older team in my draft year. So I got to talk to a lot of different guys. Mash, Stan, Buns, Halsey. There's just a bunch of guys that I could kind of talk to and get a feel for what was going to happen and what was going on. But I didn't really have a lot of pressure. I didn't talk to very many teams. I didn't talk to Dallas at all before the draft. So I was hoping I got picked, but again, my point totals that year weren't very high. So I think I was more drafted for a defensive game, and you know, that could always be a toss up for teams. So, I was just excited to get drafted. I knew I was going to go to the draft just cause it was kind of a once in a lifetime thing for me. Maybe not for Mash, once in a lifetime, but for me it was a little different. So I decided to go, and I was just fortunate to get drafted.
This is like outside looking in for me, but like going through with Dammy, like that was the year where we lost in the Game 7 double overtime to Sault Ste. Marie in the conference finals there. And we had like guys like Brownie. Like Brownie played NHL games that year before he got sent down to juniors. So yeah. I feel like Dammer kind of knew he had to play like a third line role as like a shutdown guy. And I feel like teams probably saw he had the potential and the skill. And sometimes in juniors, like you guys know how it is. Like it depends on what situation the organization is in, and you can kind of show what you can do, or you might have to wait a year before you can show what you can do. And I feel like Dammy was kind of in that spot. And then once all of us older guys moved on, he like flourished in that top line role for his last 2 years there. Right. Like, I mean, you see it with a lot of guys.
Yeah, for sure.
So just, obviously, Dennis, you're talking about how you're more of a defensive guy, your draft year, but describe what type of players you guys are for the people listening.
I would say I'm still 200 foot center, but I've been able to adjust to a power play role. I like to play a half wall power play. I think that's where a lot of my points come from, but I've been able to kind of adjust my game into more of a offensive mindset. So the point totals have definitely gone up the past few years, but I like to still play a 200 foot game, keep it simple, play a little more physical for a guy my size, but just a little, kind of a little rat out there.
Yeah, stirring the pot and then skating out of the pile, and then
and me then and skating Baff out of the pile, jump in. And ducking away. Mash, take care of my dirty work.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Mash, what about you?
For me, like I think I'm for sure a shooter, like that, like we mentioned before, you know, shooting 500 pucks a day in the driveway kind of thing, counting them one by one. And that's probably been the staple of my game growing up, and it's probably allowed me to be a pro. And then I think since I've gotten a pro, I've developed a lot of a good playmaking ability. I think I've started to see the ice a lot more and try to slow my game down a bit. And I'm not the quickest skater. I shouldn't say I'm slow, but I'm not, you know, obviously nobody's Connor McDavid, but I'm not flying around the ice. I like to kind of slow the game down to my pace and control the play like that and hold on to pucks. I'm not a big dump and chase kind of guy.
One thing I noticed about you too is like like obviously you're known like to be a shooter, but like you have that hockey sense, so a lot of people will like respect your shot. And like I've played with you a couple of times in Shinny or I don't know Menzie, and like you make a lot of like plays because people think you're gonna shoot. So that's one thing I wanted to.
That's where Dammy and I did so well, because like Dammy would carry the puck up the ice and kick out to me, and everyone would think I would shoot. And he was so good at being slippery and getting open, and I would kind of do a little give and go with him, and everyone obviously like was respecting my shot. We kind of fed off that and created like a lot of chances. This year is actually pretty fun.
Yeah, that middle lane secret drive out the bag just, right now. Yeah,
the secret's out the bag now.
Yeah, now everybody knows. Now what do we do? Well,
after the first couple of games, I think it was on the pre-scout after that, because every time I kicked out, I had both D kind of taken away the middle lane, which opened up far side anyways for Bops on the other side. But yeah, after the first couple of times we did it, it was like, oh shit, guys are closing in on us now. Like everyone's just gonna shut it down. The D are so good in the AHL that they're gonna be able to lock that down if they see it coming. But yeah, it works for a little bit, and it still opened up a lot.
That's every sport though. Like guys key in on you think it's their top guys. Like I mean, it's not just hockey, right?
Mm-hmm. I wish it was more skill involved. When me and you were on the power play, Mash just said to me, "Give me the puck if you want to get points." So
this guy used to say that to me every day, even in practice. He'd like, "Oh, if you want to look good, here, just give me the puck." Oh, a little eye roll, like, "Okay, RJ, let's go."
Mash, you went like 13 months off of hockey, and like knowing you and how much you love hockey, I know like that was a lot for you mentally. But then you responded with like finishing top 10 in scoring this year. You know, how did you handle that, and what advice do you have for like all these people like myself who haven't really played hockey in like over a year?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first part, and then my situation is different than everybody that's been off because of COVID. Like I was off because of injury. So for the first like 4 or 5 months, I was just focusing on getting healthy again. So that part's different. And then I think the second half of it, I can relate to everybody, where I think it's just a mental grind. Like you have to take every day. And I know you can get kind of caught in a loop. I feel like that's not even just in sports, that's in life. Like you can get caught in a loop and feel like you're just doing the same thing every day and every day. And I feel like, we only live, you can go out tomorrow and knock on wood, get hit by a bus, right? Like we got to have a purpose every day. And I kind of had that mindset. Like once I was healthy and I was training and skating and doing everything I had to do, I had that mindset like, okay, what am I going to do today to get an edge and get better? And when they do call us for camp, am I going to be ready? And sure enough, like it was crazy this year. They called us like December 20th and they were like, "Hey boys, you got, you know, 3 days to get down for camp." So, I mean, it was kind of just staying in that mindset. Like if they could call me tomorrow, they could call me next month. Like I need to be ready. And, you know, it's the same thing for you. Like when you're going back to play, like, yeah, it's a grind, but at the same time, it is what it is. Like, yeah, nothing we're going to do is going to change it. So you might as well just keep making the most of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was a grind, though.
Yeah.
So when I moved to Canada, I was around like 11 or 12. And I remember, you know, I decided to play for this team for the Brick. So this is like spring hockey. When you're like 11, it was like the best tournament ever you could play in. And remember Riley was on the Bulldogs, and I was, so there's two teams from Toronto. Riley was on the Bulldogs. We'd play them leading up to the Brick, and they would always beat us in like overtime, or I don't know, they'd scored like, you know, 30 seconds left to win. So they were like clearly like the better team. And I remember we got to the Brick, like the big tournament we were preparing for. And like we ended up winning the Brick, but we ended up like beating the Bulldogs to like eliminate them out of the tournament completely. And I remember like that experience, because like we finally beat the Bulldogs and eliminated them and watched them cry after the game. Like it was the best experience I've had hockey wise. So, Riley, I just want to know what your favorite hockey experience was.
Just because he won Rookie of the Year over you doesn't mean you got to come
in. I know, right?
Oh, man. You're making me tear up over here. I missed that tournament. We were so prepared going into that tournament. We thought we were on top of the world. We did not win a game in Edmonton at the big tournament. We tied one game I think that was it. And then to eliminate us, the other Toronto team has to put salt in the wound. And it was just, it was brutal. It was still a fun tournament, staying in the, like in the mall and going to all those different places, like inside just one building was kind of cool, but it sucked not winning any games. But my favorite memory, probably getting the call for AHL Rookie of the Year. Just you know, seeing what I did and the work I put in, moving forward. Just I thought I used my COVID time really well, being at home and putting on the weight and putting on a lot of strength, making the jump up to the A. I thought I took advantage of that time off. So it was nice to get rewarded for that.
How do you take an award like that, and make that benefit you personally as a player going forward, hoping to one day get the call to the big leagues?
I just think it helps the confidence a lot. I think you got to play with like high confidence to be a good player, and you see it in the best players in the world. They think they're one of the best, and they play like it. They dominate at a level where if you don't have that confidence, you're not going to be able to do it. So I think having the confidence and knowing that I did a job this year and I performed pretty well, I think that helps a lot. But moving forward, I know I got a lot of work to do. I know I'm right there to make the jump. So just moving forward, I got to do a little bit more, a little extra, and just touch up my game all around.
I'm going to get one of you in trouble for this question, but, you know, I'm going to ask it anyway. You both are big girlfriend guys. You know, who would you say loves their girlfriend more?
Well, I got to say me, because
I got the distance. I got the length in my relationship over Masher, but he's got more posts. I think he's got more Instagram posts. So I think it could go back.
I got more Instagram posts, and I got Instagram stories every day. Someone's got to take my phone out of my hands.
Riley and his girl, they're like the fashion model couple. You guys come with it with the fashion and stuff, you know?
100%. They post once in a blue moon, but when they do, it's eye catching on your feed, man.
It's crazy. I was checking out your IG today. I was like, holy smokes, that's like a fashion model couple, man. That this guy's too pretty to be playing hockey.
I think
she carries the relationship a little bit.
You're kind of a creep though, eh, Kwame?
No, not at all, man. I'm just giving them. I don't hate. I give the brothers their respect when respect's due. He's a sharp dresser.
Hey, just you know, you don't know how to dress. That's just preparation. Like that.
Thank you. There you go. It kills us, Mac.
That's just preparation. He's not the rookie of the year. Knowing the audience.
There you go. And he knows how to dress.
And he doesn't have a fire Instagram. It's, you know.
So, Mash, I'm getting the vibe here that you're maybe the most whipped here. Is that true?
Oh, I don't know if I would use that word. What's the usual word the kids are using these days? The kids are saying what? Simp? I don't know if I would categorize myself in that category, but I mean, my lady moved in with me. Like, we live together. We got a dog. So, I mean, I feel like it's appropriate that I'm posting pictures with her. Like, you know, it's pretty serious.
All right. Okay. Nice.
Yeah, I think the posts definitely go up. I think the posts definitely go up when you're with her more.
Yeah, right? It's not like a summer thing where you hang out once a week and every time you hang out, you're taking pictures and posting for the world to see. You know, it's my lady. Like, we live together. So, I feel like it's pretty appropriate.
All right, we'll leave you alone with that. I haven't been in the same dressing room with you for over 4 years, but Riley, has he finally shut up?
I don't know about that. Well, he voices his opinion for sure. But
it's a job, but if you're not having fun, like, why are you playing? Like,
it's always at the right time and at the right level. I think Masher knows when to get mad, and everybody knows when he's mad, and he knows when to kind of loosen up the room and throw a little joke in there. So he's got his ways about him. You could see it though. Like we sat like right next to each other. Babs was in between us and it was just like a comedy show. The three of us sitting in a row, talking, chatting it up and just trying to keep it loose.
I think Mash is the reason why I'm like never serious before games. Cause I like when I first got to the pitch, I was like music in, like didn't talk to anybody. And then like after just playing with Mash for 2 years, I just was never like, I'm not serious anymore.
Hey, your preparation is on you.
I think everyone
can't be putting that on me.
With the preparation.
It's not a bad thing. You just realize that it's just a game. I think you kind of taught me that instead of just, you know.
That's kind of I don't know what to say, but that's kind of rubbed off on me a bit, Mash, because Elijah and I have this thing where when we play together, in the shootout or penalty shot, like I would go right up to Elijah and like obviously before penalty shot, you're trying not to think too much about what you're going to do. You're just going to like go grab the puck and react. So I remember I'd like just try to find Elijah and like we just talk about Burger King or something. And like that's what kind of loosened me up and like got me not to overthink. And I would just grab the puck and it would just feel like I'm just going to go do my thing and react to what the goalie shows me. So thanks, Mash.
Dude, 100%. It's like Danny said, like, 5 minutes ago, if you're not playing with confidence or doing anything in life with confidence, like you're not going to do it to the best of your ability. And if you're nervous and you're uptight, like you're not going to get a good result. Like, I like to be loose. Like I like to have fun.
Yeah.
In games and practice. Like, and I feel like there's a fine line too. Like if you're having fun and you're not working hard, that's an issue. But if you're having fun and you're working hard, then I don't see the problem with it. Right. And as long as you're playing well,
yeah,
have as much fun, like go for it.
Yeah, another thing I think is
like, I had a little too much fun in juniors taking out your tooth, RJ.
Yeah, don't worry, I want to hear your version.
Yeah, I got to hear that too. I do need to hear that. Because okay. I just remember you coming and smiling the whole way down the ice. Like you were happy about it. I was at the other
end. Because I have a story about you too. So you go first.
Oh, man. So night before, I remember, I think we were pretty good this year. And, you know, we'd went down into Erie and just got absolutely whacked by them. And, you know, we came back next day. We knew it was going to be a hard practice. And, you know, Mash and I, like, we always kind of joked around in practice and whatever. But it was, like, when it was time to work, we both were like, all right, it's time to work. So it was just, like, a really hard practice, you know, pretty physical. And, you know, I must have looked at Mash the wrong way and he kind of just – came up to me and just cross-checked me. And
my
tooth came out and, you know.
Sometimes you got to send a message, man.
How it happened.
Mash, what's your side of the story?
My version of the story is we were doing battle drills and I was trying to lift his stick and I waxed his tooth straight out. Mm. That's my version of the story. I'm not cross-checking anyone in the face. I don't take it that serious.
You just
got to make up excuses of why you look so ugly with no tooth. But it didn't go down that bad.
Nash, you better hope we're never doing battle drills again together because it's going to come back
revenge.
Nash, any time Elijah tries to say something in our group chat with our buddies, like our only like response is like, Elijah, like you actually like – you have a missing tooth, like shut up. Like
okay, I got one quick story about him though. So training camp, my third year, going into your second year, we're doing like inter squad scrimmages, and I have a breakaway because I went right around him and he's chasing me and he trips me and I face plant and
oh shoot.
You see that? I split my tongue right in half. I smoked my face on the ice.
Oh, and that's from Elijah.
This was pre his tooth lost. Yeah, that's from Elijah. So, like, he had it coming, you know?
So what you're trying to
say... I bit my tongue right in half. So it's kind of like a karma on your end.
It wasn't an accident that my tooth got knocked out. After all these years, you're...
Oh, my guy. Nice. My guy, it was revenge. And I'm bringing it out on the podcast for the first time.
Wow. I like that. This is great breaking news.
That's crazy. I'm mind blown right now. I don't even know what to say. Except, keep your head up. I know where you're right.
Mash, you know what? You sound like, you sound like coaching could be something in your future. You ever thought about that? You sound like a guy that.
You think so? I actually have thought about that. You sound, I don't know. I think I've been actually last summer. I started doing like classes with like younger kids, mm-hmm. and doing like skill skates with them. And I was running a couple like younger team practices, and the parents kept telling me that their kids love skating with me. So maybe I'll be a minor hockey coach one day. I don't know.
Hey, Elijah, he's already got the experience in Kitch coaching the power play.
Oh yeah. Mash. Mash made up.
He kicked me off the power play so many times, man.
Oh, me too, man. It's not just you.
Oh yeah.
When Dammer came to Kitch, I would say right away he was pretty comfy. You would think that he was like a fourth year OA guy. Was he like that in Texas, or has he learned?
I feel like when you show up and you put up 3 points in your first American League game, you're allowed to be a little bit comfortable, you know? Mm. Like, he came in and he was like, all right, this is my league. Like, look out, boys. So when you do that, then you're allowed to, but he wasn't like coming in being arrogant or anything, but he definitely has a swagger to him. Like, I mean, like he did in junior, you know, like he goes out there and he's noticeable on the ice. He's fun guy in the room. Like, all the boys love him, and he comes to the rink and he does his business. And I feel like that's a good thing. I feel like in juniors, it's frowned upon. Like, when you come in and you're talking in the room and you're being loud on the ice and you're calling for pucks, the older guys are like, whoa, whoa, slow down. That's not how it goes in juniors. But in pro, like, guys love when you're involved, and they want guys that want to be there. And I feel like that's part of just the human being maturing, right? Like, in juniors, you're 18, 19, you're still learning. And then when you get to pro and you see how the 27, 28, 30 year olds act, and you just realize, as long as you're a good person,
yeah,
doesn't matter your age, you know? I wouldn't say he came in by storm. No, I wouldn't say that.
Do you guys think that, because you know, Mash, you were talking about swagger. Do you feel like hockey is starting to change a little bit more from being so uptight to allowing guys to come in with a little swag, as long as, like you said, they come in and, you know, off the ice, they're good people, but on the ice, if you got that swag, it's all good. Whereas back in the days, that was, you know, never a thing.
100%. I think, I don't know if this is on the topic, but I feel like, you know, in my opinion, may or may not matter at all. But like, even you saw in the bubble, like, guys getting to dress like however they want to go to the rink. Mm-hmm. And like, you're feeling good. You're putting on what you think is your best fit. You're going to the game. You're feeling confident. And then boom, you're playing good. Like, a lot of guys in hockey are starting to have more personality versus, you know, I feel like in the past, you almost have to be a robot to be a hockey player. And now I feel like it's slowly starting to get away from that. Like, there's a lot more people in hockey with voices on things that are happening in the world, where I feel like 10 years ago, maybe you couldn't even do that, or you would maybe lose your job, or you would be looked upon differently in the locker room or from management. And now it's like, you're allowed to have a personality as long as you come to the rink and do your job and you're a good dude at the rink. Like, does that make sense?
No, it totally does. And, you know, which brings me to my next question. It's like, you know, over the last year, 2 years, a lot has been made about like social justice issues, minorities in the game of hockey. And you guys have obviously played with Black players and stuff like that. So what are your thoughts? And I'll start with you, Riley. What are your thoughts on where the leagues are going when it comes to that whole diversity and inclusion idea and making a safer space for guys of color to be able to play and just be who they want to be?
Well, I think every league's done a great job, and I think you could see it in what's going on. But at the same time, there's still some issues and some like O-line guys where you know, you see the stuff with, even with Ethan Bear, with what happened, like, that's horrible. That's not something that could be in any sport or even in everyday life. We got to get to a point where, there's equality in every sport and everything we do. And, I think you guys do a great job of promoting that. I see it everywhere on Twitter. You guys are always front line for what you do. So, I think hockey and every other sport's getting there. And I think you got to just delete the bad apples and get those guys out of the game, because no one wants them here. No one wants guys that, you know, look at other players differently because of, you know, the way they were brought up or their skin color. So, I think everyone's just trying to do their part. I know every team I've played on, I've played with black players, growing up. My line mate growing up was, Tuth Burrells. And I know Akil, you know him. And I've played with black players at every level. Baps this year, another guy that he was the only guy on our team, but, you could tell he wasn't looked at different. No one gets treated different now. So, I think everyone's doing their part and doing a great job.
Dig it. Dig it. Masha, how do you see what's been going on in the world of hockey, and how can you contribute to making it a better place?
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes, and this is my opinion, I think it's just to a man. Like, do you look at yourself in the mirror and look at how you treat people, and are you okay with that? And I would say, personally, I am. Like, I've played with, you know, Asian players, black players, like, you name it, right? And I don't think I treat anybody differently. I think I treat everybody like with respect, and I like to have fun. And I think Elijah can attest to that. Like, I mean, he was one of my best buddies on the team, and I don't think it really matters about your skin. I think at the end of the day, in sport or not in sport, if you can A, do a job and do it well, and you're a good person to be around and you're respectful, like, who the hell cares what color your skin is? Like, that is so, like, you know, way in the back. And as long as I think we acknowledge, like, the past, and I think that's the first step in moving forward and to a man, treating everybody with respect and going from there. And I think obviously having the conversations about the issues that have happened is a big part of it. Like, I mean, I think if you're in the dark, there's no way you can make change. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if no one's talking about it and nobody's saying we need to change, then nothing's going to happen. And I think acknowledging the issues that are in today's game, and I think they're slowly starting to weed out, though. Like, I mean, I haven't really noticed anything from any team that I've ever been on, that being an issue. So I might be a little bit in the dark with that, but yeah. Personally, I just think, you know, I show up and try and be a good person to everybody that I'm involved and in contact with. And if I leave a positive impact on everybody, then I'm doing my job as a human being.
Dig it. And I think one of the biggest things that you guys can do in your personal lives going forward is, like, just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean somebody hasn't gone through it. So it's almost like talking to your fellow player and just being like, you know, just learning about them, you know, and like, yo, what was it like for you growing up? And, you know, what do I got to look out for and all that stuff? But, you know, from according to Elijah, you guys seem like really good dudes. So I know that the game will be in good hands when you get out there. And I know that when Akil gets into a corner, Masher, you're going to really put him through the glass. So, you know, we're really
for that. I'm taking a tooth out. I'm getting one back for my boy. But, you know, the AHL, it's known to be like a grind of a league, right? So, Dammer, like, besides, you know, scoring like 4 points a game and stuff, like, what was the year like for you? And what were the differences between the A and the O for you?
I think everyone's bigger, faster, stronger, like they say. But at the same time, I think it's more of a structured game. And I think the way guys like me, Mash, even you play, you could see the game really well. And playing with really good players, you don't have, you know, 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds running around and trying to play that kind of game. So I think in the A, there's a lot of structure to it. And you see plays develop a lot more, and guys are making plays faster and quicker, but definitely get hit a lot more and a lot harder. I went through a panel of glass this year, I hit a couple times pretty hard. So you got to be able to hold your own. And I know the jump to the NHL is going to be the same thing.
So, like, this is an actual serious question. Is Elijah like the cheapest guy in Ontario Hockey League history?
Okay, I got a story for this one. like there's cheap, and then you won't believe this.
There's
pizza, and I can't really talk because so I didn't have a car in juniors, and Elijah lived the closest to my billet house.
Yep, every day, and didn't really ask for gas money.
Yeah, but I'm not going to lie, I didn't have the funds to give him gas money either when I was in junior. So, like, I felt bad, but I didn't really have the funds to be pitching in either. But this guy went to the gas station and put in $3 of gas in his car one day. $3 of gas.
Are you kidding me?
I couldn't believe it. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Like, Laj, what was the point of that, man? Like, tell us.
Like, he needed to put the $3 in. Like, he couldn't get home. He was like, I'll deal with it when I get home.
One, I couldn't get home. And two, I wanted to wait for the prices to drop. So I only put in three.
Oh, my God. Masha, this guy messages a group chat, like, after practice one day in Niagara. He's like, hey, boys, like, can someone pick me up? Like, my car ran out of gas on the way home. Like, come on.
Yeah, because he didn't have a toonie.
So today in our group chat, actually, one of the boys sent in a video of, like, Elijah and I, like, just, like, chirping each other, like, in the room. Like, we were fighting over, like, $2. We're like, no, like, you owe me, like, $2 more than what you're saying. It's a joke. I hope you've changed, Elijah.
I'm working on changing, but, you know, out of the five guys here, there are three cheap guys on this call right now. I'm not going to say who. But, you know, there's three of them. You know, we definitely had a lot of great times and stories from when we were in Kitch. But I want to know from both of you, what was the most memorable one? Could be funniest, darkest, you know, anything. I just want to know what moment you guys kind of go back to when you think about those times. It doesn't even necessarily need to be when I was in Kitch. Just...
Yeah, I got one. Probably my funniest or most memorable was we had a guy on our team who was like a rapper. And the first time McHugh played one of his songs in the dressing room was probably the funniest moment of my junior career. Like, the boys were hyped, like, just hearing this guy try and rap, or not try and rap, like, he was actually kind of good.
Yeah.
Who was that?
He's got to be the funniest guy I've ever played with.
Who's this guy?
Nick McHugh.
Anybody who's ever played with him will probably tell you the same thing.
Fun fact, Kwame, this guy beat the wheels off of Elijah in a game.
Which one?
That's not true.
The same guy, Nick McHugh.
Really?
Yeah, they were like buddies, and then when they played each other, they fought.
You say the name, and Elijah gets, like, goosebumps. He's like, yeah, don't say that name.
It worries him.
I'm not afraid of that guy. That guy fell asleep during video, man. You think I'm afraid of him?
All right.
that was a pretty funny one.
So,
Riley, what memory you got, bud?
One of my favorites, Mash could back me up on this one. And I think, Lige, I think you were still there. When Mash was making those noises before the game.
Oh, man.
And Mash was making them, like, these high-pitched noises before the game. And we went out in the first and just laid an egg. I think we were down four or five after the first. And our coach just
came in. We were down 4-1 after the first.
Oh, our coach just came in absolutely snapping, and he didn't know who was making the noise. But we all kind of looked at Mash, and then Mash almost started to, like, giggle. And the rest of the year, all we could think about is Mash making those noises before the game and us just laying an egg right after. So that's still something we talk about all the time in the dressing room.
Yeah, like Elijah's trying to say that, like, I'm this funny guy all the time. And, like, back in juniors, I was trying to figure out the balance between being funny and then preparing for the game. And I feel like now that I've gotten to pro, I've figured out that balance. But back then, I definitely didn't. And I was just being an absolute clown before this game. And we got chewed after the first period. And then we actually came out and won the game 5-4, yeah, but we laid an egg.
Yeah.
That was funny. Like broken sticks in the dressing room, like the whole nine yards. But
oh yeah, door slammed off the hinges. It was a bad one.
I wasn't there for it, but was it worse than during like the Halloween time that the next day?
Oh,
I wasn't there for that.
No, that was probably the craziest thing I've ever seen. I don't know.
Yeah, we won't get into that story.
But no, we won't.
Well, Mash, when I was there, you know, sometimes you got to turn on the aux because he was like a third year guy. So I actually can't remember if your music was good or if it was terrible, but you know, now with
Texas, Sammy,
he's pretty good.
On the tunes,
yeah, he took it over for the last at least 10 games, and
I was kind of on the aux this year, Dan. Or
but he was always nervous. He was always looking for like, is this a good one? This a good one? What do you think of this one? Like, this one gonna fly? Boy's gonna like this one. So he was always checking in, but no, he was playing.
It's like you can't please the whole room, you know?
Yeah.
Like you can't please everyone. You just gotta try and please like majority.
Okay, so then how about this, Masher? How about this, then? If you got five songs, Masher, what's the five songs you're playing to get the boys hype?
I don't know if I have five songs, but I'm definitely a big, like, Drake and Lil Baby guy before the game. Big Drake and big Lil Baby guy. Like, anything that they have, that they go.
Riley, what about you? Give me a couple of artists that you would like to, you know, you'd like to rock to before you play.
I listen to slow music. I listen to really...
Because
really
you look
slow.
Like that guy. You are that guy. You just kind of seem like that guy.
I listen to some older music too, and some rock music. Like, I don't know, Red Hot Chili Peppers is kind of my vibe and stuff like that. So, I definitely wouldn't play it before games, but I'd say my go to song right now is Black by Pearl Jam. Is a really good song for me. Mm-hmm. A little bit of kind of like a rock vibe, so that's kind of what I listen to.
All right, whatever gets you going, man. Whatever gets you going.
Not saying you agree, huh?
No, you know what? Chili Peppers is dope, man. I mean, you know, they've got some classics. I won't even front on that.
Let's keep Mash on ops. Let's just say that.
Yeah, you're more on my vibe, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. That's why I don't take aux, though. I know my role. I don't take it. I'll throw a couple suggestions in there for the guys, and sometimes they fly, sometimes they don't, but, you know.
You know, thanks, boys, for coming on the show. You know, I know you guys are busy working out, hanging out with your girlfriends, doing whatever you're doing, but I really appreciate you guys taking the time to, you know, come talk with us, and, you know, hopefully I can hang out with you guys soon. And, you know, we'd love to have you back on the show again.
Raj,
it was a pleasure.
A lot of fun. Good to chat with you guys again. Yeah, if you could get that ice, I'm down to play some 3-on-3. Yeah. Get a bunch of the guys out.
I got one thing to add. I'm only going to come back on the show if you tape your mouth shut next time, so I don't have to look at your no tooth. But other than that, I'm game. Let's go. No, it's all serious. So thank you guys for having us. It was a nice little chat.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
A lot of fun, man.
Okay, so you know, from what I gather, these guys are pretty good friends of yours, Elijah. Pretty good teammates of yours, and I didn't realize. That's how you got your tooth knocked out. That was really interesting.
You know, Mash was one of those guys who I kind of became real good friends with right away. And you know, that's a relationship that's going to last a lifetime. And, you know, same with Dammer. I've kind of known him my whole life, and he's a real good guy. And, you know, he was a really good rookie to have on our team just as a person and, you know, the impact that he brought. And I think both of them have pretty big careers ahead of them.
Big swag. Akil, what are your thoughts on the boys? You've played against them.
Honestly, I would love to like obviously I'm really good boys with Lige, but I would love to be on like all the same team. It'd be so much fun. Like those guys are so much fun. I know them really well. Skate with both of them. Known Riley since I was 11. Way better guy than Elijah, but I'd love to be on a on the same team with all of them. They're all great guys, and Elijah obviously speaks highly of them. So,
yeah. Well, hey, listen, I thought those were great guests, and we gotta keep bringing back some of your old teammates to give us some of those trade secrets. Remember to make sure you review, you rate, subscribe, the whole nine yards. Check us out on all social media platforms. We'll be back at you next week. Thank you for joining us for Akil Thomas and Elijah Roberts. My name is Kwame, and we are out.
And when we make it, we gonna put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you like you need me. I need you like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Yeah. Soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. You goddamn right, I'm screaming on that beat. I got a match screaming on the streets. We in the club, stadium, and the arena, cousin. Put me on ice and I'm hitting that top. Trees are dusting, fussing, fighting with myself is enticing. My enemies in the mirror, and he's always reciting the poetry of my power. Statistic of my weakness, shadow boxing with Tyson. I'm trying to show y'all I'm beating them to the punch. Competition on the table, which time for lunch? Though my mission is unstable, I'm scoring once, twice, three times, and I'm taking hats. Men lie, women lie, progress is based upon the facts. So let that baby shine. They sold the show and know the, they live within the grind. Now take them out that stroller, cause coming up is a champ. Prediction of Ali, he changed his name to Muhammad. We changing free to a fee, it's up to me. And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you like you need me. I need you like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. Let's dedicate this one to Jade and Linda. Let's escalate to Caddy, crush the Pinta. Or maybe you prefer that Benz, why? That big truck, I don't give a f***. Only really want a house for the gift. Let's take it far down on the competition. Competition is nonsense, it's me and my soul's decision. Yeah, I only work against myself. I play against you to bench you. I'm throwing all shots to the shelf. Yeah, the top is the topic. You checking your armor. My wheel telescopic, so I'm steering my karma. The future is mine, like receiving the pass from Jesus or Jordan or Crosby, Stills and Nash. We young, and when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. When our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.